From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, this is Alan Cairn saying hello to you. It's good to have you listening in to Let the Bible Speak. I've said it many times and I'm glad to repeat it today. We do appreciate you taking the time to make this program part of your day. Many of you have been kind enough to be in touch with us by letter, by email, by telephone call, and you have testified to the blessing of the Lord in your heart through the ministry of His Word here on Let the Bible Speak. I trust you'll be able to stay with us today as we finish out our studies in Colossians 1, 28 and 29 on the subject of laboring to produce fully mature Christians. An important subject for us all, and I trust that, as I say, you'll be able to stay through the rest of the broadcast. We'll be turning to Colossians 1 in just a few minutes, but first we have our daily devotional Bible study, which today is taken from Acts chapter 11, verse 24. The subject, a good example. It was said of Barnabas, he was a good man. Barnabas is one of those rather minor characters in Scripture who are almost totally eclipsed by their relationship to a greater figure. Barnabas was a faithful fellow laborer with the Apostle Paul. That's how he's known, and also why he's sometimes forgotten. The figure of Paul is so captivating that we tend to forget almost everyone else when we see him. Yet the passages which relate to Barnabas set before us a true son of consolation, a character worthy of any Christian's imitation. The first mention of Barnabas in the Bible, Acts 4, 36 and 37, refers to his generosity in financial giving. Unlike Ananias and Sapphira, he gave all to the Lord, revealing something of the devotion he had to Christ and his cause. Someone has said that it's possible to give without loving, but it's impossible to love without giving. Barnabas's devotion held nothing back. The second reference in Scripture to Barnabas portrays him as one gentle in friendship, Acts 9, verse 27. Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, had been converted, but the church could not forget his past and treated him with coldness and with suspicion. They weren't quite sure of him. Barnabas, on the other hand, supported him, encouraged him, and introduced him into the communion of the church. How important it is to be of help to those newly come to faith in Christ. The final passage relating to Barnabas in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verse 37, underscores his graciousness toward failures. John Mark had gone home once when he was on a missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas, but Barnabas was willing to give him another chance. How like the Lord's treatment of erring Peter, who, having denied Christ with oaths and curses, and that before the ungodly, was restored and subsequently fulfilled a powerful ministry as an apostle and an elder. Let's be gentle, generous, and gracious. That's the message of the life of Barnabas, truly a good example. Roland Hill gives us our thought for the day. We can do more good by being good than in any other way.
The divine all was excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded.
Regular listeners to Let the Bible Speak will know that here on the program, we like to offer some good and helpful literature. Some time ago, we had a special offer of one of my books, and for a while now, we're making a very particular offer of a book entitled God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of Daniel. It's by my associate pastor, Dr. Michael Barrett, and it answers the question, where is God? A question often asked by skeptics, scoffers, and even by troubled believers. Trials and tribulations of one sort or another crowd people's daily lives. Corruption, conflict, and catastrophe seem to command the world scene. And in the middle of all this comes the question, where is God? There is a new heresy abroad in many parts of the professing church. It's called open theism. It has the idea that God is a good God, God is a caring God, but he is always reacting to what is happening in the world. He is not the God of providential purpose and unfailing control. Dr. Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, the message of the book of Daniel, shows that God, our Savior, is the God of history, and he's the God of prophecy. And therefore, he is also the great God of the present, the one who is in complete control. So the message of the book of Daniel simply is, not to worry. The Lord has everything under control. Now, you can receive your free copy of God's Unfailing Purpose while our supplies last by writing to us here at Let the Bible Speak. So we look forward to hearing from you. And we'd be happy to send you not only God's Unfailing Purpose, but any of the other pieces of literature that we advertise here in the broadcast from time to time. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is freepres@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS. 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be glad to send you Dr. Mike Barrett's book, God's Unfailing Purpose, The Message of the Book of Daniel.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man, the Son. twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of God and Son of Man, glory and honor, praise and adoration, now and forevermore be thine.
And now we come to the final study this week on the subject of laboring to produce fully mature Christians. We've been looking at the motivation for this. Today we return to that subject, emphasizing just how vitally important it is for Christians to become mature. And then we're going to end up by emphasizing the means, the twofold means, both human and divine, whereby God accomplishes this in the lives of his people. So let's take time now to open the scriptures at Colossians chapter 1, looking at verses 28 and 29, laboring to produce fully mature Christians.
It's not for nothing, Paul says, I am striving that you may become fully mature. There's a lot riding on it. Young people, make sure you will take the words of the psalmist. What shall I render unto the Lord? Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows now unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Go through with God. If there's anything or anybody standing between you and fully obeying the Lord, then get rid of that thing. Avoid like the plague anything that is standing between you and going through with God. Paul says, that's what I'm laboring for. The means. How does it come about? Twofold on a human level, he says, I labor. And the word labor here is a word that denotes toil, trouble, and even grief. And the work of God will never make progress without preachers who labor in the gospel. Labor and laborers. But on a higher level, the true means must always be divine. Notice what Paul says. He knew that these Christians, this type of Christian, can't be produced by a human harangue. Young preachers sometimes make this mistake, and I've heard more experienced preachers, and they think you can scold people into being holy. Remember when I was growing up, there are times now the preacher needs to roast you. Believe me, there are times when he's got to deal with sin, and if it roasts people, then let it happen. But I remember growing up, a preacher would be ripping everybody apart. There'd be nobody this side of heaven who was walking right, and he'd be rip-snorting every direction, and we'd come out and say, man, that was a great meeting. Made us feel guilty, made us feel terrible. Must be a great meeting. Didn't do us any good, mind you. Didn't make any change. So it was only a fleshly thing. You see, I can't cajole you into being holy. I can't coax you into being holy. I can't force you into being holy. Paul realized that. He put forth all the effort and all the argumentation that he could, but he knew that effort and argument couldn't make spiritual people. That was something that could only be done by the power of God. That's why Paul never wasted a time spouting philosophical theory. Christ was in him, the hope of glory. But notice what he says, he's also in me, working, if I could give the words of verse 29 their literal force, working in or by me in power. Paul was living in the power of the gospel. And there you've got something that has to be vital to any ministry. Remember Dr. Paisley hammering this into us when we were just young students? He used to challenge us personally about our prayer lives, challenge us about our walk with God as students, and say, remember this, a preacher will never be able to lift a congregation any higher than he has got himself. There's a lot of truth in that. It's not absolute truth, because the Word of God is still the Word of God, and God can meet with you and do a great work in your heart. But as far as the whole church is concerned, very often the church is the reflection of its preacher. And that was for us a very sobering truth. Paul says, the Lord's working in me in power. I know what I'm talking about. You see, in Paul's mind, there was that day in the Damascus Road when he was saved. That was a great day. But that was only a beginning. There were 3 years that Paul was alone with Christ in the greatest school the world has ever known, in the wilderness alone, being taught by the Savior. Paul grew in grace and in knowledge. He says, he's working in me. And this working in me is the wellspring of all my actions. He's working by me. This is the ingredient in Paul's ministry that I desperately need here. The free church desperately needs. If you're going to be praying anything for the ministers this week, pray for this. That they'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. That I'll get that fullness of the Holy Ghost. That there will be preaching and living and witnessing and standing and evangelizing in the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing. Paul says, this power works by me. It's God working by me in his mighty power. Remember what he told the Romans? He said, I am preaching to make the Gentiles obedient through mighty signs and wonders and by the power of the Spirit of God. Oh, that God would give us that. Do you remember what he said when he was talking to the Corinthians about their tongues? I'm not getting into what their tongues were. But he said, I would rather speak 5 words in the Holy Spirit than 10,000 words in your tongues. Your 10,000 words are just hot air. But listen, 5 words in the Spirit. Not much. Not much at all. But God could move the world by those. It is said that R.A. Torrey, before he set out on his great world evangelistic mission, in which it is reckoned that in a 3-year period he saw 100,000 people come to Christ. It is said that Torrey said, give me 10 men full of the Holy Ghost and I will move the world. That's what we need. That's what I need. And that's what you need. Oh, that God today would do this with his own work, with his own power, to bring us to full maturity. So as we close, we learn 2 lessons very well. You and I, we can become mature Christians. You can become fully mature, but only by the experience of the mighty power of God working in us. We have Christ in us. There's no reason why we can't have his power. And then, of course, we can be used to bring others to Christ and see them mature. In other words, as a mature believer, you can bring others to the same thing, but only as you're filled with that Spirit of power. That's a great thing, you know. Because our usual excuse is, well, I'm not a good speaker, I'm not a good this, I can't do that, I'm not really very competent, blah, blah, I'm not, and it sounds like God has abdicated, but he hasn't. Whatever you are, whatever I am, as far as talent goes, just give us the power of God, and we can do the job. That's the encouragement. I trust indeed that we will, by the grace of God, through the labor of the gospel, be brought to be fully mature believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. In just a moment, the meeting will be over. Let me say that if you're not saved, you can't become a mature Christian until you become a Christian. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Salvation's real. It's personal. And thank God it's available. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Pastor Bream and I are here as your servants for Christ's sake. We'd love to help you to Christ. If you are a Christian, have you been growing in the Lord? Are you growing in the Lord? You can, you should become fully mature in him. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. Set Christ before us today, we pray. Enable us to feast on him, to fill our minds with him, to satisfy our souls with him. Grant, O God, that we may truly be enabled to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that thou wilt not let us stay as babes, but as fully mature believers. O Lord, do this work within us, and then use us to reach others for Christ. God grant that thou wilt bless the parents here. Give them especially the joy of seeing their offspring brought into Christ, that the boys and girls may be all safely gathered in. Remember our young people. We think of the words of the Lord Jesus. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Lord, there are young people here who have named thy name, and the devil's after them, trying to wreck their lives, trying to waylay them, trying to dim their vision, to dull their love, to compromise their stand. O God, we pray that thou wilt speak that they may become mature believers in the Lord Jesus. Give fruit, we pray, for the preaching of thy word. And part us with thy very richest blessing. The blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be thou the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people today and evermore. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak,
1207, Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.